My theme today, according to the sheet, and I try to go with what's down, is Jesus had authority. And perhaps you'd like to read this verse that's on the screen with me. The people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority." He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. Now, in this passage today, Jesus has gone to church, really. That's, you know, in a sense for the Jews, the synagogue is the church, isn't it? And they're really amazed, the Jews are, because they say, well, look, this guy's got authority. He's not just parroting out stuff. He seems to not just know his stuff, but he's got authority to teach it. And then, surprise, surprise, they weren't expecting this, a man near the back, please don't do this now, shouts out, and it's not the man, it's a demonic presence. And Jesus says, shut up, not just to the man, but to the spirit. And then he casts the demon out of the man. And you go, wow, we don't have that in church every week. And they said, Jesus really does have authority. And then a little bit later on in the passage that we've read today, he goes to see Peter's mother-in-law, who's in bed with the flu, and he speaks to the flu, and guess what? She gets up to get dinner for him. Wonderful. And later in the passage, he's cleansing lepers, and instead of just saying, oh Lord, you know, Father, I pray that this leprosy will go, he actually says to the leper, be clean. It's a new way of praying, isn't it? And the people recognised it was with authority. If you were to go through the rest of the New Testament or the rest of the Gospel and said, what other things did Jesus have authority over? Can you think of one other thing besides sickness or demons?
The sea.
Storms. And you could list a few other things. Even fig trees died. You think, wow, Jesus has authority. Let's just see if I can change my slide. Oh, that's the recording. Is it? Okay, here we go. Someone else is going to move the slide. Sorry about that. If you read on in Luke's Gospel, for instance, you'll read that Jesus called the 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the Gospel of God and to heal the sick. Jesus is an empowering leader. He doesn't just want to do all this stuff himself. He wants his disciples. Gosh, he said. But it doesn't stop there, because later on in the Gospel, he commissions another 72. And he sends them out to have authority over sickness and diseases. So I'm just going to give me a piece of equipment. And that will help me. But if we were to move on fast... So I pointed at that man over there. Is that what happened? Is that where I pointed, Steve? There we go. Wonderful. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we read the Great Commission. Perhaps you'd like to read this one with me. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Okay, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, when Jesus left the earth in his resurrection appearance, he then says, I want every person who comes to follow me to have the same authority that those early disciples had to heal the sick, to deal with spirits that oppress us, to set the captives free, and do all kinds of things. It's exciting, isn't it? In fact, today, Christians are rediscovering that authority. If you've ever done the Alpha course, you'll know they have a session on healing. And on that session, you learn that you, as a new believer even, have authority to heal the sick. Now, you might say, oh, we're going to have a bit more about that today. No, you're not. Because actually, I want to talk about authority, not just to help other people, but authority in your own life. Because until you have it in your own life, you'll never be able to help other people. And I've got a story which you'll have a laugh at my expense. So, there we go. Now that's Sammy the dog with our little grandson, Freddy. Sometimes we call Freddy Sammy and, you know, the other way around. Now, when our son and his wife had little Freddy, they didn't think they could cope with Sammy the dog for certainly a good period of time. So we agreed to look after Sammy the dog starting last August. Now you need to know that I grew up without dogs or pets. I've never had a dog in my life. I'm not a doggy man, if you like. All was well to start with, and Sammy came out on his lead and went for lots of walks and all kinds of things. And Joan and I are keen walkers, so sometimes poor Sammy was exhausted with some of the walks that we took on. And Sammy, for those who are interested in dogs, is a cross between a Jack Russell and a Yorkshire Terrier. Bear that in mind for the rest of the story. It's important, this story shows why it's important to learn to use authority. All was going well with Sammy for a while. On the lead and then off the lead, on the playing field and things like that. And then one day, coming back late in the car, and Sammy hadn't had a run, I thought, oh, let's take Sammy for a little walk, and I love walking along the Congleton edge. So Sammy came with me, and it was getting, you know, it was probably an hour and a half before dusk. We're back in October or September time. And first section of the Congleton edge was okay, Sammy was off the lead. And then if you know the Congleton edge, I went down near some woods. And this is where disaster struck. Because down in those woods are many squirrels. Now, if you know anything about Jack Russell dogs, they're hunters. Sammy deserted me. And no matter of shouting, calling, doing everything I could, I even thought of standing on my head, nothing would get Sammy to come back. As it got darker, I rang Joan. Joan got upset because I'd lost our son's dog. I was nearly going to ring our son and tell him, would he shout over the phone to tell Sammy to come back? Because at the end of the day, I did not have authority over Sammy the dog. We did eventually get home, and Sammy went back on the lead. And occasionally I would risk going to the field with all kinds of treats and learning what I should have learned about dog training. A friend of mine who's very good with dogs, when he heard about this story and he got over laughing about it, said to me, well, he said, the thing about dog training is, dog trainers don't train the dog. They train the owner. And he said, that dog needed to know that he wasn't the leader of the pack. You're the leader of the pack. Now, I've told that story against myself because in some ways it applies to what we're thinking about with spiritual authority. Let's read this next verse on your left-hand side together. Because the demons knew his true identity, he didn't let them say a word. A few weeks ago, we thought in the morning service about our Christian identity. And you'll never have authority unless you're sure of your identity. In terms of dog training, I needed to know I was the leader of the pack. And I didn't know that. Now, when it comes to spiritual authority, it's just the same. That even the demons recognised that Jesus had authority. And because of that authority, he could deal with those and sicknesses and everything else. Now, when I was a new trainee vicar, they call him a curate in Coventry, everything seemed to be going swimmingly for the first year or so. But then I began to develop depression. I had fear and anxiety and panic attacks. I'd always had fear in my life and anxiety. But it blew up. I had to go to the doctors. And I was so bad, and I've shared a bit about this in a message that I spoke in the morning service on the 26th of November. And those who want to pick up a bit more of why I was like that. But eventually, I had to go. God said, you need help from me. And I was fortunate that I visited some old friends the other side of the city. And by divine providence, they were being visited by a couple of other Christians who were really full of the Holy Spirit and knew how to pray with authority. And they discerned that one of the fears I got was a fear of death. And they came against it in prayer and broke the power of it, such that the next day when I woke up, for the first time in my life, that gripping fear of death wasn't there. Now you say, oh, that's good news. But of course that wasn't the end of the story. Because I had many fears and anxieties. In the words of someone else in the New Testament, that my name was Legion. I had quite a lot of them. Fear of people and things like that. And I had to... I discovered something else that helped me in my journey to link my authority, my identity with my authority. And this is a text from the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, because I discovered a book by a well-known Bible teacher, he's in glory now, called Derek Prince. Has anybody here ever heard of Derek Prince? Wave your hand if you have. Oh, that's a good show, right? Well, the rest of you have missed out. You can download his talks on the internet or buy his books. But the book that I read was called, well, the section I read was called God's Medicine Bottle. It was based on this passage in the Old Testament. Derek Prince had come to faith during the Second World War, but he was in Egypt and he contracted one of those terrible skin diseases that you can get in tropical countries, and it wasn't healing, but he also worked in a hospital as an orderly, and he believed as a new Christian that God could heal him. And he studied the Bible and he came across these verses. My child, be attentive to my words, to my sayings. Incline your ear. May they not escape from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to the entire body. And he began to find the words that would heal his sickness. And as he chose to obey the way it was, in fact, God spoke to him and said, if you have medicine from the chemist or the doctor, what must you do? And he was dispensing medicines in a hospital. He said, you must read the instructions on the bottle. And God said to him, what's the instructions on my bottle? And of course it includes keeping the words within your heart, which speaks about meditation. Now, I knew that the verses that Derek Prince had wouldn't suit me. It's a bit like going to the chemist and saying, oh, just give me some medicine. Well, it's no use me having your medicine. I've got to have the medicine that I need for my particular complaint or problem. But God releases to every Christian a chemist's shop. It's called the Bible. Have you got one? It's a chemist's shop. But you need this particular prescription out of it. And that's what I needed. Now, the Holy Spirit is the counsellor. And he showed me some different verses from the Bible, about 9 in all, that would actually heal me of my depression and my fears and anxieties. All the others I'd got. And I had to learn, therefore, to meditate. And as I did, a transformation began. And I'm going to share with you just two of the tablets that he gave me from the scriptures. Here they are. The first one. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and self-control. In other words, Jesus showed me, he said, Paul, you have the Holy Spirit, which gives you love, power, and self-control. But you're letting these fears, just like when I couldn't control the dog, control your life. You've got to let my Holy Spirit rise up within you, and you've got to start to take authority over those fears. But the other verse on the screen is from the book of Daniel. And it says this, once more he took hold of me and I felt stronger. He said, God loves you, so don't let anything worry you or frighten you. The problem I had with my identity, and I was a trainee vicar, was that I didn't really believe that God loved me. Never, he said. Absolutely true. And as I began to meditate on this, God began to change something. Brennan Manning says this: before Peter was clothed with the mantle of authority, Jesus asked him, not once but three times, "Do you love me?" The question is not only poignant but revelatory. If authority is given, it must be based on the love of Jesus. And for me, I didn't believe that Jesus loved me. So as I began to declare these truths and meditate, often many times during the day, because the fears and the anxieties, they battle you, don't they? I began to discover and experience my last slide I'm going to share with you today. And one of my other tablets was this one on the left. Perhaps you'd like to say this one with me. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, imagination, is stayed on thee. After about 3 months of meditating on my tablets, I came to the point where I was healed of my depression. The anxieties had subsided. The fears were not plaguing me by day and by night. And the panic attacks had stopped. I discovered that I could use authority for myself. But if I'd have never had that experience of learning to use authority for myself, I don't think I'd have ever gone on to pray for healing and all kinds of other things for other people. I wouldn't have been able to sing that other song we sing about fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And perhaps I can leave you with this question today. Where do you need to use Jesus' authority in your life? Might not be fear or anxiety, it might be something quite different. But Jesus wants you to learn to use his authority. I've brought a few materials, including the medicine bottle, which if anybody says, "I'd like to find out more about this," I'll be here at the end of the service with Jo, my wife, and I can give those to you. We can also pray with you. So, let's just pray together, shall we? Father, thank you that every Christian has your authority. Many of us, Lord, though, are not sure you really love us. We're unsure of our identity. Help us, Father, to begin to rise up, as I did, to become who we are in Christ. And use your authority, first of all, for ourselves, and then in time, for other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, last thought.